This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Saturday, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every Saturday we're here, right here at this desk, and I happen to notice that you're drinking your diet drink again.
That's right. It's in here every week.
I know, and we're here doing life together, but if you listened to us last week, you know that we were trying to break, Chris, of this bad habit of drinking diet drinks, and we were using some motivational things on you, but obviously they didn't work.
I'm a slow learner, learner, and by the way, I find that to be offensive.
Are you highly sensitive, Chris?
I'm highly sensitive, yes.
Okay, well, that's a good thing you're here today, because we're going to talk about that very topic.
That's right. As always, we invite you to join the conversation at Dr. Linda's My Faith radio page, where you can leave a question, comment, or answer the question for the week. Dr. Linda's Facebook page is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and her Twitter is at Dr. Linda Helps, and her website is drlindamental.com. And there are many ways to connect online.
And we really want people to look at that My Faith radio page and look at the question or the topic and comment with us, because we're using your comments. And soon we're going to use your comments even in a different way that'll be kind of fun. So you just said you were highly sensitive.
Right.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you cry at movies?
You know, I'm a big guy. Fairly broad shoulders.
They really can't see you on radio to see.
Right. Yeah.
No, you have to describe it.
I'm not a diminutive person.
Okay.
But yes, I have to fight back that emotion.
You do?
Fairly often.
You do. Can you think of some movies that made you cry?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Not right offhand, no, but it can happen, especially when there's human interaction of some sort and someone really breaks through and gets through to someone else, and that person says, aha.
Okay.
And it's a moving moment. It usually makes me a little weepy.
Well, I was trying to think of the movies that have made me cry, and
right.
I was surprised by Toy Story 3.
Wow,
that one really got me. I was on an airplane when I saw it, and I cried during almost that whole movie when Andy leaves the toys for college.
Yeah,
I was just weeping.
Right.
And then when the toys were all holding hands and they're about to be incinerated, it was, Matt, you're over here, but he has his hand to his nose. I think that means you're
that
feeling the
exactly
same way.
That's what I was going to say. When the toys hold hands and they're about to be incinerated,
it's
I was done.
That's
it was
true.
Over at that point.
It's terrible. And then I also cried when Mufasa died in Lion King, and the young cub is looking at his dad and he's saying, "You can't die, you can't die." And I think one of the worst ones for me, and this is the one thing for me, it's animals.
Yes.
It's animals, because when that horse in War Horse was all caught up in the wire, I just was losing it at that point.
Right.
Now, at that point, all these people had died in combat, and I'm not crying. But when that horse...
The horse, right.
Oh, my goodness, that really got me. So
there was a scene in Forrest Gump. Remember this movie?
Yes, yes.
It's when Forrest realizes he has a son. His son's name was Forrest. And older Forrest asked Jenny, is he, and Forrest didn't know how to put it into words, but he was saying, does he have a learning disability
like I
do? And that right there got me.
That got you.
I thought that was very tough, yes.
Yeah, I think some of the real big movies, I cried during Lone Survivor, Braveheart, I cried. The Patriot, I cried. And I really cried during The Passion. And we watched that every single Easter season. And it just leads me to tears and some very, very deep emotions when I see that movie.
I think I was so stunned by The Passion, and I've only seen it once. I was emotionless during that movie. I think it takes you to a place you've never been before. And I was probably more in shock than I was in tears.
I'm crying. Yeah. Well, what happened to me is I left the theater, and I was with my nephew. I left the theater. I went to my car by myself, and I just sat in my car, and I just wept.
Yeah.
At the end of that movie. So if you're crying during movies, like obviously all of us here at the radio station do, you may be a highly sensitive person. Now, I need to say, Chris, that not all people who cry during movies are highly sensitive, but this could be a sign. And what we want to do today is we want to talk about what it means to be highly sensitive, because we want the people in our lives to understand what they're dealing with and right. how to deal with the highly sensitive person. Or if you are a highly sensitive person, there may be times in your life where you feel like you need to get a handle on those feelings. So we all have people like this in our lives, mm-hmm. or we might be one of those highly sensitive people ourselves. So I right. think this show is going to be very helpful to everyone who's listening.
This week, Capri commented on the question of the week. She says, I am an HSP. That makes her a highly sensitive person.
That's right. Hashtag HSP, right?
Right. She says, lots of movies make her cry, mostly when they have to do with family reuniting or coming to terms after a long crisis. But specifically what movies lately have made her cry would be Les Mis, of course.
Okay.
And The Fox and the Hound.
Yeah, she also says Saving Mr. Banks. I just saw that.
Saving Mr. Banks.
That didn't make me cry, but it was good. She's that got made, that one in there, too. Did that make
made,
you cry?
No, but it made my wife cry, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she says she could go on and on with that.
Charles says, personally, like you said, The Patriots.
Yeah.
And this is so true. When I read this comment, I remember the scene. When his daughter runs to him and speaks for the first time and says, Papa, Papa.
Yeah, she hasn't Ooh. Spoken. That was, and then there was a terrible scene in there where a woman is about to go off a cliff, and that one kind of undid me, too.
Right.
So we could probably all come up with a lot of movies. And I think there's a reason why that happens to some of us more deeply than others. And it has to do with this whole business of being highly sensitive.
Are we highly sensitive, or do we just really enjoy the story in the movie?
Well, some people do inherit a genetic predisposition towards mm-hmm. this. So some of you who are parents that are listening, you know that from the time a child is born, there are some kids who are much more sensitive to feelings and touch. We know that about 10 to 20% of infants begin life with a tightly wound or tuned nervous system that makes them easily aroused and jumpy and distressed in response to kind of new stimuli. So this touchy nervous system leads to a touchy temperament. And so it's kind of like the princess in the pea, if you remember that story, where the princess senses the pea below her tower of mattresses. And a highly sensitive person perceives the slightest sensory or emotional provocation and then responds with a flurry of brain activity that begins these outside reactions of tears or deep emotions or really thinking about that and or maybe even just getting really enthusiastic. So their personalities may run the gamut from being very moody to dramatic, and all of that is a product of unique biology that we all have.
What are histrionics?
Well, histrionics are when you get really dramatic, so that would be very different from a highly sensitive person. But the point here is there's a famous psychiatrist who says it's like feeling something with 50 fingers as opposed to 10. You just have more receptors in the brain to perceive things differently.
You know, the story of the princess and the pea, I've wondered, was she really that in tune, or did she have a lot of bad mattresses underneath her?
Well, we're talking about biologically being in tune here.
I see. That's right. Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Thanks so much for joining us this weekend. You can catch Dr. Linda's blog at myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
last movie that made me cry I watched a couple weeks ago was called Somewhere in Time. And basically, it was about a guy who fell in love with a girl from a different time, and he went in time travel, and finally he woke up to his own time, and she was like 90 years old, and he was like in his 20s. So it was really sad because he could never be with her because he had fallen in love with her from a different time period.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where every Saturday we're here doing life together, and today we're talking about highly sensitive people. And we just heard a comment from a woman who saw the movie Somewhere in Time. I have to tell you, this is so off the topic, but I actually was in Mackinac Island, and I stayed in the Grand Hotel. And that hotel, every room in that hotel has a theme to it.
Yeah.
And the where they shot the movie, the actual bedroom, Somewhere in Time, I was in there.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
now, was that a true story, this movie we're talking about?
I don't know. No, I doubt it. I don't think you can go back into time
yet.
Yeah,
that's right. But it did made her cry. She made a connection with the story.
Right? Yeah, it's a very emotional story about love and unrealized love.
You know, a lot of people are moved by stories of triumph. And Shireen says there was a movie from the 1970s called Something for Joey. It's a sports-themed movie based on a true story.
And that was one of your things that made you cry, triumphal movies, right? When people triumph at the end and they go through a difficult time.
Especially when there's a human connection of some sort.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of those emotional grabbers.
Well, you and I were talking earlier about how highly sensitive people are creative types.
It's true. There's a 2003 study reported in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology that found that the brains of creative people appear to be far more open to incoming stimuli than those that are non-creative, which means that they channel the beauty from the world into art and music. So they notice things that other people miss, and highly sensitive people are aware of small details, and they have more openness in their brain to those kinds of activity. Interesting.
Is it a left brain or a right brain issue?
We don't get into that. It's top and bottom brain now. We don't even do that left and right brain
left
thing anymore.
Left and right
anymore.
Brain's out, okay.
The brain is much more complex than people originally recognize, so yeah, we don't go there.
Okay. Well, we won't do that. We won't
ask
that question
Chris,
again.
You're not a neuroscientist.
Thank
so it's
you.
Okay.
That's right. I noticed when we were talking about movies that a lot of the sensitivity has to do with animals, and you had mentioned that.
I do, and how those animals are handled. So sensitive people don't like to see animals mistreated because of the helplessness that animals have. Mm-hmm. And actually, when you're a therapist like I am, that is one of the things that we notice very quickly when we see a child who's being cruel to animals or an adult who tortures or is very mean to animals. We know that that's an indication that there's some kind of a psychological disturbance there. So hopefully most people would have some sensitivity to animals because they're helpless.
Right.
Whatever you do to them, they really can't get away from you unless they bite you or do something like that.
What could be the diagnosis if you see a child who is abnormally cruel to animals?
When that is a recurrent pattern, that can be a sociopathic type of person, a psychopath. So it's a very serious character issue that we look at carefully when we see that.
Now, me personally, I have to be a little more careful at times about the way I joke and talk to people because I can be a somewhat sarcastic person.
You think?
And it can... Hey, what's that supposed to mean? It can leave people, in some cases, angry.
It can. So that's one of those things. If you are living with someone or you are in relationship with someone who's highly sensitive, you have to moderate your joking a little bit because people can take things very seriously that you might not think is that big of a deal. But on the positive side, if you give someone an unexpected compliment or you have some kind of kind word for them, then you can really make their day and their mood will just soar. So if you see something like the sight of a dad playing adoringly with his child, that can bring tears to your eyes. It can make you feel warm outside. So it doesn't take much on the positive side to make you feel good.
Right.
You can feel bad easily by the joking, but you can also feel good by the compliment. So what would you do then if you noticed, Chris, that you had joked too much on a person? How would you make that correction? This is a test.
This
is a quiz.
You would definitely ask, have I said or done something?
No, but what would you do based on what I just said about the complimenting?
What could you do? I guess I would turn around and tell them, you know, I like your shoes. Nice
shoes.
Well,
you probably have to get a little more nuanced than that,
right.
But that was a quiz.
I see.
You got about a C on that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't
so
do too well on that one.
So here's the thing. If you're having a conversation with somebody highly sensitive and you notice that you're joking around and they're starting to look like they're getting upset,
right.
The best thing would be to turn around and do something positive. Say
right.
something positive to them and get their mood back into a better place. So that's a good correction, a real fast correction you can make.
Or can you just simply apologize?
You could.
Hey, I went
you
too
could.
Far. I'm sorry.
We're not seeing too much of that in the news these
right.
days.
True, that's true.
You could do that. There are some people that are more sensitive than others, and an apology would work really well.
Well, you'd mentioned a dad playing with his child, and that can give you a feeling of, you know, make you tear up. But we've seen fathers who tell their kids, hey, toughen up.
Yeah, that works for some kids. Yep. It works for some kids, but you really have to know your child because mm-hmm. emotional experiences like that where you're coming at the kid really harshly and that child has a very sensitive temperament, that is going to shape them in a way that you don't want them to be shaped. So
right.
you really do have to think about, is my child that type of child that easily gets hurt, that where that doesn't motivate? What the dad is trying to do sometimes is motivate that child to let things run off.
Water off a duck's back?
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
So that's the intent, is to try to get the child to just toughen up a little bit. But mm-hmm. it doesn't work with a highly sensitive child. What
right.
it does is it just creates injury in that child. And then they feel rejected. They don't deal with criticism well. And they really don't get motivated by that. So I would say to dads and moms and anybody else who's dealing with a highly sensitive person, moderate your behavior based on that person.
Right. Now, I don't want to come off as this being a sexist question.
Uh-oh.
But can hypersensitivity be attributed mostly to women?
What do you think?
Maybe.
Safe answer. The answer to that is actually no.
Okay.
So if you say yes, then you're being sexist.
Okay.
There actually was a number of researchers who believe that males and females are born highly sensitive in equal numbers.
Mm, wow.
So they're not seeing a big difference. But some men do grow up hiding it. So you think about the cultural norm, it's not really acceptable for a man to show his feelings that directly as much as a woman. So they don't want to really identify themselves as highly sensitive because of the cultural acceptance of that.
Well, we see that made fun of in movies. Whatever the situation, a man is trying to hold his feelings
right.
back, and then when he bursts into tears, usually it's a funny situation when he does
right.
that, because we know as a culture, that's actually a real struggle for men. You don't get caught crying over this. So it's made fun of to some degree, but it can be funny.
But the message there is that just because the person isn't reacting on the outside doesn't mm-hmm. mean that they're not highly sensitive
right.
in the inside, and that makes it more difficult because then you don't know if you've hurt the person or you've gone too far with your remarks.
Right. Joyce says, I am an extrovert, but I have more sensitivity than people think, and my feelings are easily hurt. I would think that a highly sensitive person would be more introverted, but Joyce is not.
You would think that they would be?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd want to avoid social situations?
Right.
Is that what you're thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, highly sensitive people are often taken for introverts, but because social interaction can deplete them. So
mm-hmm.
an introvert, it feels like they have to put out a lot of energy when they're in social situations. And then you add sensitivity on top of that, and it does make it more difficult because they react to everything that's going on in there.
Right.
However, I'm going to pull out the research here, about
mm-hmm.
1 in 5 highly sensitive people, like Joyce, are actually extroverts. So they like the social environment, and they love all the chatty interaction and being with people, but they too have to process their feelings, and they have to take note of what's going on, and they can easily get hurt in those situations, even when they're looking like they're being very friendly and outgoing.
We had a response online this week, and the person said, I would say that I'm highly sensitive, but I like being around people. When people are positive, it inspires me to be more outgoing and it energizes me. But negative interactions send me spiraling, and I have to watch that. People really affect my mood.
So that's a good example of when you are an extrovert, you're there, you're in the middle of that social situation, but you have to watch out for it. So introverts and extroverts, it doesn't really give us a clue necessarily
mm-hmm.
whether or not a person is highly sensitive.
it can be shocking when an extrovert comes to you and says, hey, I don't like what you said.
I know. And you think about all the celebrity types who seem to be out there, right. And then you find out that they're highly sensitive to the things people say. That happens more than we probably think it does.
Right. Well, today we're talking about highly sensitive people. Maybe you are one of them. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and it's great to be with you today. You can join Dr. Linda on her blog at myfaithradio.com, and Dr. Linda's Facebook page is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. We'll be right back.
Well, I'm not sure if this counts or not. The last time I cried at the movie theater was when I went to a first-run movie with a date, and I had to pay for two tickets, and it was like $22. That was probably the last time that I cried at a movie theater.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
The other night, I had an interesting conversation with friends at dinner. We were talking about the idea that Bible stories were not just nice stories, but they were there to help us relate to difficulties when they come. Now, I know this wasn't exactly a new thought. I know we know this. But how often do we think about what we are going through and actually place our life stories in the context of those Bible stories? So here's what we did. We took turns and we related a current issue that we were each having to a specific Bible story. Then we used those stories to encourage one another. So for example, one of my friends had a relationship with his boss that felt a lot like David's relationship with Saul. One moment the boss was praising him and giving him assignments, the next moment the fiery spears would fly. Like David, he trusted God for his tomorrow. He often wondered about the timing of God's intervention, but trusted that God was working on his behalf and the plans God had for him were good. Another friend related to Joseph. She was in a job, unappreciated, and felt thrown to the side while others ascended and were promoted. She could really relate to being in the prison of neglect and rejection, hoping and praying that the king, the boss, would remember her and release her from false charges that caused the rejection. Like Joseph, she believed God would restore what was lost. By the end of the dinner, we were laughing and smiling. Life may have thrown us a few curves, but we were determined to react to those curves like the people of faith who went before us. So, the next time you need a little encouragement, hey, grab that Bible storybook and think about the lessons we teach our children. Those stories aren't just for kids. They can really encourage us too.
The last movie that made me cry, I think, was The Best of Me. Because it's sad, but mostly because it's, well, because I'm a girl, but because it's a love story and it's like two high school sweethearts, and in reality every girl wants that story, so you just sit there and cry about it. It has a sad ending too, so I pretty much just sat there in tears the entire time.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're talking about highly sensitive people.
You know, there was a comic one time that said, 1,000 people stop by and say they enjoyed my show, but one person says something negative, and I take it so personally. What are some suggestions for people who have the tendency to feel that way?
Yeah, so what we want to do at this last part is we want to give some tips here on what we can do to help people. So the first thing is, if you are relating to that statement, it only takes one thing and then I'm sort of devastated from the comment, then you have to recognize your need to dial down those emotions. Not necessarily not feel that deeply, but learn how to regulate that emotion. So you say to yourself, okay, one person out of the whole thing, why am I focusing on that one person? Let me think about the 99 other people who told me good things. So it's a matter of regulating that emotion so that it doesn't get in the way of you dealing with people and situations. A second one is you have to calm yourself down. A lot of times what happens, Chris, is we get the emotional reaction. We get very aroused in our physical body.
Right.
And then we don't think real well. And all we do is feel and we can't reengage. So when you're feeling so emotionally aroused, and this is a good tip when you are in a fight in a marriage or something too, if you can distract yourself for a second, like if you can count to 10 in Spanish or you can think of something else, your physical body will calm down. If you find that you are being very sensitive to something someone says, you might want to try a quick distraction time.
Like turn the radio off.
Well, not now.
No, not now.
Yeah.
Turn the TV off.
After. But you might want to do that. Right. You might want to do that.
Well, what I'm talking about is downtime. You have to designate that to yourself.
You do. So your brain works overtime because it's processing all of these moods. It's soaking up. Think about the brain kind of soaking up the moods of everybody around you, and it needs time to recover. So if you can limit stimulation when you can, like you said, Chris, mm-hmm. turn off the radio while you're driving maybe.
Right.
And maybe use a sleep mask or earplugs at night. If you want to get into a more meditative place, you could pray and meditate on God's word. That's a powerful way to tap down on stress hormones and to give yourself some downtime. So you can do that really quick. It only takes a few minutes. During the day, you can just sit quietly, put your hand over your heart, deepen your breathing, focus on something beautiful, mm-hmm. focus on the name of Jesus, picture something that is like your child or something that would be relaxing.
You can also change who you interact with.
You can. You have to look at your people in your life, and sometimes some people are just a real energy drain.
Right.
I had to say it nicely. And you can limit your time with that person, or you can simply say, I want to be here for you, but right now it's really hard for me to listen. And the tone of voice, how you say that to somebody is really important. So if you don't say it in a mean way, that works real well.
There are ways to prepare yourself for these situations that you can't avoid.
Right. Think of yourself with a shield around you or some way to just kind of arm yourself. The one thing I want to say, though, what doesn't work, a lot of people say this, and they say it in a very well-meaning thing. They say, oh, just let it go. Let it go. You know, it's the Frozen. Just let it go.
Right, yeah.
And so that doesn't work because people that are highly sensitive experience that as a put-down and that they've done something wrong. So say something reassuring instead, such as whatever the situation is causing them stress, just say, well, it's going to improve. Things are mm-hmm. going to get better, rather than telling them to let it go.
What about rewriting history? We all have the tendency to do that.
We do, and sometimes we do it with so much sensitivity, so sometimes we can go back and say, okay, maybe I was being overly sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to look at this from a different perspective. And that has to do with modifying our view and looking at maybe there's just so many things that I'm reacting to that I need to sort of pick the things that are more important and not react to so much.
Now, we may not get through all of these. You can see these on Dr. Linda's blog at myfaithradio.com.
Right. Well, time flies, and we're out of it for today. So many thanks to our producer, Matt Garcia, who is also our man on the street again this week. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. If you want to get more information on could you be a highly sensitive person, go to my blog on myfaithradio.com and find out if you are a highly sensitive person, and of course some tips to help you. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.